Turn with me to Mark chapter 3. I want to thank Brando and Lena for letting us crash at their house. It's been fun staying there. I remember Brando as a lost guy. Where is Brando? Is he here? Brando's not here. Okay. Very good. Very good, Brando. Yeah, I had many doubts about Brando at the beginning. I was like, man, you're talking to my niece. I don't like that. But, you know, the Lord had mercy.
Amen.
And definitely something that happens to all of us, I think. We look on the outside, but God knows the heart. Mark chapter 3. The fellowship has been real good. The eats have been really good. Man, it's been a good week.
Amen.
I'm tired. It's been a good week. A lot of preaching, and it's funny every time Mission Conference comes around, I'm thinking, man, what are we going to say? You know, this book has a lot of stuff in it. You know, and when you read it, it's amazing to me how just things you just sometimes you overlook some things. Sometimes you never seen any, you know that before. You know, someone says something, and they go, wow, you know what? I've read that book like lots of times, and I didn't see that? This is just amazing. It's just a fountain that just keeps on giving. Mark chapter 3, and my mom is here. Right? It's a little aged woman back over there. Now, if you get a chance, please say hi to her. She is fruit from this church.
Amen.
And I say that because I want her. I want her, the Lord. I want her, and I want my sister.
Amen.
The very same day. The very same day I won them both.
Amen.
And it was through a trip. They took a trip down. We were living in Toluca. They took a trip down there. I think it was after we kicked Bill and Michael out of there. They took a trip down there, and they stayed with us for a couple of weeks. My sister was going through some things, and she decided to bring my mom down there, you know, the Lord let her see the church down there, let her experience, hear some testimonies down there, saw the work down there. We even visited Morelia, you know, during that time, saw the work, there as well. And it was a good time, and they went back home. And then my sister calls me, probably about a week later or so, and says, man, I want what you have. I want what you have.
Amen.
So, knowing our enemy, right, I'm thinking, Karen, pack up the bags.
Yep.
Let's go. Amen. So went down there, showed up to my sister's house, drove into her driveway, gave her the gospel face to face. She said, yes, 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 yes.
Amen.
She called on the Lord. Called my mom. She told my mom, this is what happened. John's over here. He gave me the gospel. I accepted. And my mom told her, I want to talk to him. So he asked me the phone. I'm thinking, okay, mom, what's up? You know, and come over here. And she says, you come to my house, and I want you to tell me exactly what you told her. I said, okay, I can do that. So, and you know, they've been now believers for several years now. I'm just so happy. So much fruit has come out of here from this church. I don't think it's going to stop. Mark chapter 3. I want to read here in verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, and they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil? To save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and the great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another opportunity, Lord. Thank you for this week that you've given us, Lord. Just thank you for how you've spoken to my heart, Lord. And I trust, Lord, that you're working on your church, Lord. Just thank you for the great opportunity that we have to get the gospel out, that we get to do this. We're not obliged to. No one's hoarding their authority over us, Lord. We just thank you for that. It's something that we've seen. It's something that we desire. It's something that we love because you've loved us. And we are debtors, Lord. You've rescued us. You've changed our lives. You've changed my life. Lord, I just thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that I think better, I live better, my life is full, Lord, and it's all because of you. And I just thank you for dying on the cross. I thank you, Lord, how you took my payment, Lord, and you paid it in full. And I thank you for that, Lord. And there's anybody here tonight, Lord, that does not know you as their Lord, they haven't made that step. It could be a child, it could be a young person, it could be an older person, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you just continue to work in their hearts. Help us to help them, Lord, understand the gospel. I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I read these verses, the phrase that came into my head is, don't be like them. You know, we're here this whole week, and I don't know about you, this year it seems to me like there's been a lot of freedom as far as me speaking. In the mornings meetings have been really good. Sometimes some years, you know, I feel like, you know, there's a little bit of resistance, or a little bit of friction, a little bit of pushback, you know, and you can, you know, I can say, yeah, you know, the enemy is upset because we're meeting, is upsetting. But this time it's been really good. I haven't felt that. I've felt it's been a good spirit, you know, maybe because we got a bunch of kids running around everywhere, and I'm just happy to hear all those little kids running around making friends and just having a good time. I don't know, but it's been really good this week. But in verse 2, Jesus comes in. He comes into the synagogue again, right? The Bible says that he came to his own, and his own received him not, right? So he's continuing to go to the synagogue. And if you don't know, and you can look it up yourself, but in Luke chapter 4, it says that it was Jesus' custom,
right,
to meet.
Right.
He was in the synagogue. When it was church time, our God was there.
Amen.
Just think about that. I mean, if it's good enough for God,
yeah,
to meet, you better have a pretty good excuse not to come to the meeting. You know, I mean, look, I know, you know, sometimes, you know, you work, if you got schedule problems or whatever, I totally understand that. But I think sometimes we just say, it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth coming to, you know, a week of meetings with, sometimes we might go a little bit long and it's just not worth, man, you know what, you just don't know, what you might see.
Yeah.
Imagine if this guy with a withered hand thought, you know, I've been living with this withered hand a long time. You know, I mean, I'm just going to stay home, I'm just tired. Could you imagine that? Look, these guys, you know, there was not tech jobs back then. I mean, you had to work. It was physical work. If you didn't have a cushiony job, you know, like a Pharisee, and just, you know, be real smart in the Bible, you know, and you work in the temple, you had to be out working physical labor. Could you imagine working with just one hand? That's got to be tough. You know, there wasn't, you know, the social system, you know, around. The other day we ran into Walgreens over here, and there was some homeless people asleep right outside. And when I came back out, somebody had dropped off, you know, some water, some chips, you know, some food and stuff. And I said, wow, you know, that's pretty good, you know. I'm glad someone did that. But, you know, this is the time we live in. You know, people are generous. People do help. But I don't think back then there was a problem, you know. But back then, you know, the life was harder. Life was just, you know, more, yeah, it was just hard. Imagine if this man would have stayed home that day and missed the opportunity. Man, I thank God I got two hands.
Amen.
You know, and two arms and two legs, two eyes, two ears. You know, several people, you know, wear hearing aids, right? Brother Nick, he has problems with his vision, right? I mean, I don't know how long you've had a problem with your vision, but it happens. You get older. It happens, right? But sometimes you're born that way. We have one of our deacons down there in Toluca. He has a daughter. She can't walk. You know, she's going to therapy. You know, she just had a bad fall. I'm thinking, I don't have all the details, but I'm thinking, you know, trying to do some exercises, and she fell down. She had to get some stitches. You know, hopefully there's no broken bones there, but she is 12. Yeah, something like she's just like 12 years old, and she has to be taken to the bathroom. Right? You know, I'm praying that she can walk. At least walk to the bathroom. You know, that would be a big help, not only to her parents, but for her to get a little bit of freedom, right? And there's people in this world that have problems. Man, could you imagine if this man would have just stayed home? But that verse right there, in verse 2, it says they watched him. We have to be careful. This week, I think we've been challenged. I know I've been challenged. I know I've been pricked. I've been stirred up a little bit. I've been, you know, the Lord, you know, has given me, some new challenges, maybe some things I need to switch up. I need to do. I need to shake up, whatever it is. And even things out of my life, just get rid of some things out of my life. And I think this week, hopefully you've heard the Lord deal with you.
Amen.
I mean, last night Corey, today, you know, Matt telling you, you know, maybe somebody come, we need help. Okay, and I understand that. And maybe that's not it tonight, you know, or this week. Maybe it's just like you need to get your life in line again, you know, before you even take that other step.
Amen.
Because we don't want or you don't want to go with a bunch of garbage, right? You got to take care of some things. And listen to me. Walk out that door. That's the mission field.
Yep. Amen.
You know, you don't have to be in Poland. You don't have to be in Mexico. That right there is the mission field, right? So just look at it that way. It's not a failure. Look, when I came to this church before I was saved, I didn't know what to expect. I don't know what I was looking for, right? I knew one thing. I did not know God. And so I wanted to give God an opportunity to allow him to reveal himself to me. Right? And so me and God made a deal that week, and I came every night during the mission conference. Right? A few years later, after I got saved during the mission conference, after I got saved, a few years later, again, we're having a mission conference. All right, great, you know, having another mission conference. I didn't come to the mission conference. I didn't start off the mission conference thinking, God's going to call me this week. That was the farthest thing in my mind. You know, I took a couple trips with Bill down to Mexico, you know, as a believer, as a new Christian. I went down there. I saw the work. I thought, man, this is pretty cool. You know, I was happy. I was happy to be supporting them. I was happy to be, you know, in the open meeting here, going downtown, and preaching. I was doing good. I thought, man, this is what God wants me to do. It was fun. You have no idea what you have in this place.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, we've had a good spirit the whole week, even eating lunch, talking, laughing, just doing, man, you have a bunch of people in, ladies and men in this church who will be happy to go start a ministry somewhere. Right here. You know, Jesus comes in and they watched him. And it got me to thinking, you know, we have an enemy. The Bible says in Corinthians, the second book of Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, he has a lot of devices. You know, doubt, envy, hatred, pride, diversion, malice, revenge, speaking evil, right? Slander. You're thinking, no. You know, the devil doesn't put that in our hearts. Oh yeah, he does. Yeah. Read over there what it says there in John 13:2. I have it here. So you don't have to turn it, but definitely write it down. John 3:2, it says, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas. You know, he puts things in your heart. Look, I'm not saying we should be scared of this guy, you know, our enemy. I'm not trying to lift him up. I'm just telling you what we do here. And I'm talking about church. I'm talking about any given Sunday, any given Wednesday, any given Sunday night, any given time you're out doing ministry. When you're doing something for God, when you're worshiping him, listen to me. He's taking notice. And it might be he's doing it from afar. Yep. You know, it says over there, if you read over there in Matthew chapter 4, we know the chapter, right, where Jesus gets tempted. It says over there in Matthew 4:11, then the devil leaveth him. You know, sometimes the delay is also something that he does. He steps back. And you think, oh, he's not bothering us no more, right? He went down to Freedom and he's going to mess with him. You know, he went down to the Presbyterians down the block. You know, he's going to mess with them, right? He's done with us. No. Sometimes he just leaveth for just a little bit. We have to be vigilant. Isn't that what the Bible says? We have to watch. Isn't that what the Bible says? We have to be in constant alertness. Because why? Because the devil. He's like a roaring lion. And sometimes it's a purr, but let me tell you, he can roar. A couple observations. I mentioned one, his manner. He was in the church building. They watched. You gotta be careful about your attitude, right? Maybe this week, maybe you've overheard somebody make a comment about wanting to serve the Lord. And when you heard that person or you heard a rumor of that, something might have popped in your heart and said, that guy can't do it. I know that guy. You know? He's a bum, right? I know what he did. Well, you know, instead of having that attitude, why don't you get down on your knees and pray for that person?
Amen.
That person didn't confide in you, so you can't go to him and say, well, you know, I overheard you, because he'd be like, you little, you know, whatever. You know, you might have a problem there, but I'm just saying, pray for each other, right? Because we do have an enemy, and let me tell you, I'm not your enemy. When we were at the men's meeting this in July, for some reason there was a, you know, there's a couple brothers there that for whatever reason we just never hit it off. There, you know, couple churches there in Leon, I just don't get along with them. You know, I don't even know why. It's just like, you know, they don't talk to me, I don't talk to them. We just kind of like across the room, like, you know, whatever, you know, but, and so I came home this time and I'm thinking, what am I doing?
Yeah, amen.
I have no idea. So you know what I did? I wrote this guy one of the guys, I wrote him a text. I had to ask his phone number from another guy because I didn't even have his phone number. And he's one of the elders in one of the churches. So I texted him. And I said, hey, this is John from Puebla. Do you have some time, brother? I'd like to talk to you. It won't take long. So he writes back like a couple of days later. And he says, oh, okay. He goes, I'm real busy right now, but I'll get back with you. And I said, okay, thanks. 2 weeks passed. I'm thinking, this guy's really busy, you know? But so I come up here and he writes me and he goes, oh, you know what? I have some time, brother. You know, can I, and I couldn't because we were in the meeting, whatever. The next day, you know, he writes me a little earlier and he says, look, I have time right now. And so I call him and I tell him, and I said, brother, have I done anything to you? You know, you've been in the church a long time. You know me. I know you. You know, but I don't know. Either you don't like me, I don't like you. I think it's a little of both. I'm not too sure. I'm not sure what's going on. But I want to apologize. Did I do say? He goes, no, you haven't done anything wrong. You know, to me, he goes, I don't know why we don't get along. You know, and he says, but you know what, brother? I've been praying these 2 weeks. And you know, he tells me, he said, I don't know why you wanted to talk to me. So I was like, man, what, you know, what's going on? So I was like, you know, he told me, he said, well, you know, should I call him? Should I not call him? He was thinking about not calling me. You know, maybe we're not going to be best friends. You know, maybe we're not going to be, you know, hang out, you know, together. He's cut a little bit differently than I am. And I'm fine with that. But I don't want to have a problem in my heart. You know? Because I want God to bless me. If I have a problem with this brother, how do I expect God to bless me? An examination. Just an examination. We might not agree with everything. And I had to write another brother. You know, same from another church. I did it too, you know, and he wrote back, and, you know, him, I have a little bit of history with. And so, you know, maybe later on we'll talk a little bit, but I do like him. I just don't know where the separation came. Right. But I want to make sure that my heart is okay. This is something that you have to do and you got to be careful, especially coming out of a mission conference week. Right. Jesus goes and he gets in there and he tells this man, stand forth. Wow. That's a huge comment. First of all, the guy has one arm. You know? I mean, look, you and I have defects. Sometimes the defects are visible and sometimes they're not. Right? Could you imagine, Mom? I'm over here speaking. I was a stutterer as a kid. Oh man, I was a stutterer. So much stuttering. And look at me, Mom, I'm up here.
Amen.
It's crazy.
Yep, praise the Lord. Praise.
Something that's impossible.
Yep.
God said, stretch out that arm.
Amen. Yeah.
Stretch it out. No, but it's impossible. Stretch it. Listen to me. You and I have problems in our lives, and sometimes they're visible, sometimes they're not. But they're there. We need our help is from God. We need to be not like them. You see somebody hurting, you see somebody, you feel like there might be a problem. You know what? If you feel like somebody doesn't like you, I always kid with Karen all the time because, you know, when I sense like somebody doesn't like me, I tell Karen, oh man, you know, I don't know what I did to this person, but I'm going to be in their face every single time I see them. You know, it's almost like a game to me, you know, it's like, okay, hello, how you doing? You know, and I know there's a problem. I'm trying to get them to maybe work something out because I know I didn't do anything. Right. But you and I sense it. Don't we? Don't let the devil get a hold of something like that and ruin something that God's trying to build here.
Amen.
We have to be careful.
Amen.
The dilemma that we see there. Jesus says he calls this guy out. He's standing in front of everybody. you know? And he's thinking, man, you know, because he obviously stood up, right? And so he has one hand like this and the other like this. And he's thinking, man, now in front of everybody, this guy told me to stand up. And just imagine that. The minute he stands up, now he's telling all the Pharisees there, this guy has some authority and I'm going to submit to what he says. That probably messed with a lot of people's minds in that moment. But he did it. He did it because Jesus asked him to. The dilemma. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? These guys kept silent. They held their peace. Why? Because if they would have said, no, it's good. Well, then they just implied that Jesus' ministry, they were on board with that. Exactly like this person. When he stood up, he said, I'm with him. Even though he didn't say anything, but the minute that he obeyed, he's with Christ.
Yep.
He took a stand, right? That was a big dilemma. You know the gospel. It says the demand was to stand forth. And then you also see another observation there is the deliverance. But listen to me, when he stood forth, this guy didn't ask for healing. This guy didn't go looking for healing. Isn't that incredible? It wasn't like blind Bartimaeus yelling, Son of David, you know, have mercy on me. I can't see. You know, he wasn't doing that. He was there with his withered hand, and he was there in church.
Amen.
And he was just going to listen to see what happens.
Amen.
He wasn't looking for anything. Brings me back to what I just said. There's lots of times you come, and this week you've come, and maybe you're not looking for something. But let me tell you, God's looking for you. That's the gospel. Sometimes we get a little bit backwards, right? It's the sinner seeking the Savior. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the Savior seeking the sinner. That's the gospel, right? Jesus shows up. Nobody has any idea why he's there, you know, or I should say what he's going to do there. Right? It was just like, let's just wait and see. We're watching him. Let's see what happens. You know, he did some stuff. You know, if you read the chapter before, right, the Pharisees had a problem because his disciples picked some corn. They were hungry on the Sabbath day. Bad people, you know. If you go to, look, you can go to Exodus chapter 20 where it talks about the Sabbath day and it says there that you shouldn't work. But then the Pharisees defined what work is. It, just look it up. It's pretty funny. Now, I'm not an expert in these things. I just did a quick search, you know, about what the Pharisees, how they changed and how they did this thing about work. They made sure, or part of working, a mother couldn't even pick up her child because that was work. Right? If they were to drink milk on the Sabbath day, it could only be a mouthful of milk. Because any more, it'd be too heavy, and that's work. Right? The spoon had to weigh a certain amount, because if it was heavier than a certain amount, that was work. I mean, it's crazy stuff, right? I mean, what's wrong with these people? But they were all focused on, okay, well, you know, look what they're doing. They're hungry and they're... We see a deliverance there. He said, stretch forth thine hand, and he was healed. Some things to consider. When I read this story, one thing I considered... Does Jesus ever ask you to do something that you can't do? Does he? I say yes. Yes. Could this man, just listen to this, he has a withered hand. Jesus told him, stretch forth your hand. It's impossible. You cannot do that. You have a withered hand. It doesn't, you know, we're not like salamanders. We don't grow back a tail. I mean, it's not, it's impossible. You cannot do it. How is it that Jesus asked him something that it was impossible for him to do? He does it all the time. Just think about your life. Think about things that you've, man, when I came to Christ, impossible. You know what I thought in my head? What's my mom going to say? I can't do this. What's my mom going to say? What's my dad going to say? What are my sisters going to say? Can't do this. And that week, every single night, all the messages, all the singing, at the end of that week, Jesus said, stretch forth that hand.
Yeah.
I can't do it, Lord. Stretch forth. Man, healed.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Healed.
Amen.
I get saved. I go back to my mom's house pretty much immediately. Because I'm going to tell my mom I got saved. My dad wasn't too happy, but that's okay. You know, he didn't say much to me. I just knew he wasn't happy. And my mom, I remember that day. I don't know if you remember that day, Ma. But my mom, she just looked at me and says, well, that's good. And I'm thinking the reason why she said that is because deep in her heart, she thought this kid is going on a, you know, his road, his life is bad. And if this is going to change him, and if this is going to be for good, okay.
Yeah.
You know? It's not like he's going to be chopping heads off chickens, right? I mean, you know, he says he's, you know, Christian now. Okay, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, we're talking, what, 17 years? 16 years down the road? Look, God watches you too. And that's a good thing. Right? The world watches you. Right? For all those years after I got saved, watching me. And I have to believe that my testimony, and I'm not saying I'm some great person. I'm not. I am what I am by the grace of God. But let me tell you, I'm different than what I was. I'm different. From the time that where the Lord pulled me out, oh man, I think about that guy sometimes for like a couple seconds. Right? I'm thinking, man, I don't like that guy. I'm glad he's dead. Right?
Amen.
I want the new man.
Amen.
This is what's worth living. But you know, Jesus does ask you things that you can't do. And when he asks you those things that you can't do, you gotta just stretch out your hand.
Amen.
Look, how about just giving your money to the church? You know, it's one thing if they come by with the plate and you throw some cash in there. But at this place, they make you think about what you want to do with your money. How horrible are these people? You know, and they even have, you know, crazy envelopes there with a bunch of different things. You're thinking, I really have to, what? You know, really? I have to think about this? Can I just give you the money and you think for me? No. No, it doesn't work that way. You think about it.
Yep.
I think that's good.
Amen.
But even that giving, it was like from when I got saved and that happened, I'm thinking, how is this going to work? I mean, you know, I'm not a rich guy. You know, I drive a forklift. You know, I mean, it's not going to happen. Just barely making it, you know? I'm like barely going to the movies 3 times a week, barely. You know? Barely playing pool like 5 times a week, I'm barely. No, things had to change. I understood that. And that was the reason why, I was wrestling with it. It wasn't till one Sunday morning. I remember that. One Sunday morning, Roland came back from his tent making in Puerto Rico, and he was down working with Adrian. Working with Adrian down in Salamanca, right? That's where he first started. Brother Lindo came in here and he was mad. You know? Cause I don't know, that month, I don't think Roland got anything, or if he did get anything, it was like very little. And he came in here and he just blistering, and it was like, he was talking to me. Everybody else gave, but me, I didn't. Right? And I'm thinking, man, well, this guy's gotta be quiet, you know, can I leave, you know? But listen to me, it's exactly what I needed. And from that day, I said, you know what? From that day, no, I need to start supporting these missionaries. I had that responsibility. And then I thought to myself, how am I going to do that? I got this withered hand. I can't do it. But when I understood that, God said, stretch it out.
Yeah.
It's amazing how when you organize your life, you know, when you put the important things first, how everything just, the things that need to be cut out will get cut out.
Yep.
Right? And the things you're doing for the Lord, that's gonna last. Amen. That's the better choices.
Amen.
Stretch forth your hand.
Amen.
The last thing, instruction. Verse 2, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. They, them. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. There's always people looking to criticize. And I don't know, you know, that week when I first started coming here to the church, when I was here, when I popped in there, I know people knew who I was. I know that. You know? But I don't know if there were some people saying, look at this bum. You know? What's he doing here? Right? Maybe even when I went out as a missionary, thinking, who is this guy? He's barely got here and he's going out as a missionary? Come on, I'm not doing that. I'm not supporting that. Who is this guy? He stutters. Forget about it. I don't know. There's always going to be people going to criticize you. I'm thinking about that situation where Jesus tells him, stand forth. And he stood up. And I know it must have happened because that's how we are. Could you imagine some people there criticizing? Look at this guy. Who's this guy? What's he doing standing up? Does he not know who this guy is? We're trying to kill him. You know? And he's standing up. He's obeying what he says. No, criticizing. Just saying a bunch of junk. People are always going to do that. But you know what matters? You need to do what Jesus tells you to do.
Amen.
What's the instruction? Jesus says, stretch forth your hand. Look, nobody can keep you from doing what God wants you to do, but yourself.
Amen.
You're the only obstacle. You know, Josh, when he was up here and he was saying, you know, and he was talking about him and how he's not this, he's not that, the other, and he stumbles and he says a bunch of stuff, and you know, Josh is pretty funny. You know? But he loves the Lord.
Amen.
And I think he's a good worker. Is he the best? Will he ever be the best? Probably not. And if you ask Josh, hey, are you the best? And Josh will probably keep saying no, Josh, because it's gonna make you strive to be better. Right? The minute you say, oh yeah, I'm pretty good. You know? Oh man. You know, Bill's got nothing on me, man. I know the Bible a lot better than him. Forget it. I've arrived, you know? The minute you jump to that, no, you know what? I look up to people like Brother Lindell, Bill, you know, people that I know who really know the Bible really well. And I look to these people and I'm thinking, I want to be like them.
Yeah, amen.
I want to strive to be more. And if I know more, if I get a better insight than them, praise God. You know, maybe I can help somebody else.
Yep.
But you got to keep yourself humble. Right? Because pride is going to ruin you. Pride will ruin this church. You know? I mean, look, every year, and probably throughout the year, you know, we talk about what God's done here. And I've never sensed, like, you know, why are you boasting about? Well, but I never. You know how I take it? Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I think it's good to remember these things.
Yes.
You know? I mean, why did God tell Joshua, build some rocks there?
Yeah.
You know? Pile up these 12 rocks. And when your kids see these things, they say, hey, what's up with the rocks? You're going to tell them what God did.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Right? No, I don't think every meeting, I don't think all the time we say, oh, yeah, blah, blah. No. There's a time, and we need to look forward. But I want to boast on what God has done in my life.
Amen.
And I never want to forget. Because there's been times in my life where I can say, I know the Spirit of God moved.
Yeah.
I know He did something here.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we walk by faith. God wants to get you out of your comfort zone. And He's going to ask you to do some impossible tasks. And let me tell you, it might not be going to the mission field. It might be just doing, you know, door knocking, passing out tracts. That's terrifying. It really is. I don't like bothering people. But I have to overcome that. You know? I can't tell you how many times I've shown up to, you know, a place, a street, a park, and I'm there and I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should just go back home. These people are having a good time. You know, once I start yelling, they're going to be mad. Can I just pass out a track? Can I just smile and say, Jesus loves you? Yes, He does. It's tough sometimes. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Oh Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for Thee." And the last thing I want to say is, as an instruction, it's evil not to do good. It's evil not to do good. You need to know that Jesus Christ, He's calling each and every one of you, stand forth.
Yep.
You have a problem. You have something. You have something that I want to help you with. I know you think you can't do it. And you can't do it. Just get that clear in your head. You can't do it. And Jesus is saying, I know you can't do it. Right? Like that story that we, you know, that several people mentioned this week about Moses and all those excuses, right? Well, what was he saying? I can't do this. And all he said was just step out. I'll help you out. Don't be like them. Right? When God gives you an opportunity to give the gospel to somebody, you need to do it. You know what happens the longer you wait? The harder it would be to give them the gospel. How many of us, I'm gonna make you guys feel bad. But how many of us right now, you've been saved for a good amount of time, and at your job you have a person, or you have people, even family members, who you haven't been bold, and you haven't given them the gospel like you should. And it's already been weeks, months, years. And then right now you're saying, man, I should go over there and really tell them. And it's so hard now.
Yep.
Man, when I got saved, I worked on night crew, driving a forklift. Man, I went over there and man, I was just like, wow, God saved me. And I'd go over there and I'd be witnessing to everybody. People did, when they saw me coming in on my lunch break at 2 a.m, I'm done eating. They left. I was on fire at that time, man. I was like, wow, you know, I know I told you the story. I'm sorry, I'm going to bore you, but I had a Christian brother there where I worked, and he had to pull me aside about a week later. And he said, man, I think you got saved. I didn't even know he was a believer. Man, I think you got saved. I said, yeah, Lelton, I did get saved. Man, I started telling him my testimony, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, that's good. He said, but, and I'm glad you're witnessing to all our coworkers, but you got to stop cussing. What? You're giving these guys the gospel, and every other word is a bad word. I said, no, that's not true. It is. And he's been listening to me the whole week. Just let me go, let me go, let me go. And he's thinking, wow. But none of these guys ever told me anything because that's how we spoke. It's our language. Every other word was a bad word. Right? I wasn't mad at them. They weren't mad at me. It's how we spoke. Let me tell you, it gets harder if you shut your mouth. You need to take advantage of the time and the opportunities that God gives you and just tell them up front.
Amen.
If God is directing you to do something, the longer you wait, the harder it's going to get. Because you're going to wait and you're going to come up with excuses. Man, I'm full of excuses. I'm full of good ideas too, but I'm full of excuses, man. If there's something I'm kind of on the fence about, and if I wait and wait and wait, I come up with a ton of very good excuses not to do it.
Yep.
Instead of just at that moment when God says you need to do this, jump on that. Oh, it's going to be tough, but I don't want to give my mind and my heart time to think about the excuses.
Yep. Amen.
Don't be like them. It's only going to hinder you, and it's going to hinder what God wants to do here and wants to do in your life. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says this, and I'm end. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing.
Amen.
Be not weary in well-doing. Don't be like them. Be more like Jesus.
Amen.
Doing good. Amen?
Amen.
Don't forget to say hi to my mom.
Amen. Let's stand. Turn to number 95. God is asking you to do something that you would have never expected. Something that you would have never thought possible. Something that maybe you're not too comfortable with. Well, God is giving you an opportunity to be used by Him and watch Him do great things that only He can do. So let's sing number 95 and you think about it and answer the Lord according to what He has spoken to you.